This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What we're going to talk about today are miracles, but we're going to talk about them from a particular focus. We want to look today at what the sources of miracles may be. Now, some may say, well, God is the source of miracles. And I would agree with you on that, that God is the source of most miracles. But as we'll see on today's program, there are other sources of miracles. For example, a magician can duplicate something that would seem miraculous to some people. And we will see from the pages of your Bible that Satan can also be the source of miracles. Now, this particular subject came to my mind due to an experience I heard about when I was a young boy. I was in the Greek Orthodox Church at the time, and there was a summer camp that some of our youth went to in Meadville, Pennsylvania. And one summer, there were reports about one of the icons at this summer camp either weeping or that myrrh or some other liquid was emanating from this particular icon. Now, many who were there at the time believed that this was a miraculous occurrence, and I do not know if this was investigated by any authorities to see what the source of this liquid emanation was. But I bring that particular example up because I want to look at that subject today, at what the source of miraculous occurrences from statues or icons might be, and what investigators have found when they've looked at these types of occurrences. We will also look at the Bible and what it says about the source of miracles, and hopefully we'll have some time to see what some skeptics say about miracles and be able to answer those skeptics on this particular subject. To get things rolling, though, I want to show you a scripture. It's over in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. It says, "You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Now, there are some religions that teach you should not have any image. You should not have any artwork. Looking at this command from God, I believe the key here is you should not worship these types of things. Because if we read over in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 18, we see the following. "And you shall make two cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the two ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat, and the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat." So we see here that God doesn't have any problem with artwork. He is telling Israel to put this artwork on the mercy seat of these things that existed in heaven, the cherubim. So we can see from that that the problem with statues, with icons, is we cannot worship these types of things. And I've heard stories and I've seen things where this type of veneration was bordering on worship. So we need to be careful of that. And we'll look at some more scripture on this particular subject as we go forward today. But before we get to any of that today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a free booklet on today's program. Now, the booklet that I'd like to offer you is titled The Miracle of Healing. Healing is a continuous theme running through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, yet it cannot be denied that God has extended the miracle of healing in different degrees for different purposes at different times. People have not always been healed with the same regularity or for the same reason. Find out why by reading this booklet, The Miracle of Healing. We also want to offer you a free CD today that is titled God's Hand in Healing. This CD will look at the miracle of healing from the perspective of God and the Bible. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791, or you can order through our website at www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Our website also has a webcasting sermon each Sabbath. Please go to our website to learn more on when this occurs each Sabbath and take a look at our archives of sermons. Welcome back, everybody. I'm glad you could join us on today's program. The topic of conversation today is miracles. We're looking at this particular subject of miracles from the perspective of what is the source of miracles? Are all miracles from God? Can Satan perform miracles? Are some miracles hoaxes? Can magicians perform things that seem to be miraculous? We will look at that subject from this perspective, and hopefully we'll be able to answer some skeptics on their particular view of miracles. Now, at the top of today's program, I related a story about an icon that seemed to be weeping or emanating some fluid when I was a member of the Orthodox Church as a youth. To begin today's program, I want to look at some examples similar to that and see what the source was for these particular occurrences. Now, the information that I'm going to be relaying to you here had come from an article in the magazine called The Skeptical Inquirer. The writer of this article was a fellow named Joe Nickel. And Nickel investigated various phenomena like this, not only in Christianity, but in other religions. One of the examples he gave in the article related to a story coming out of India in 1995. What occurred there was one of the gods there named Ganesh had a temple, and at this temple, this Ganesh idol stood. And I've been to India and I've seen this where an idol stands in front of a temple and people will bring tribute to that idol in the form of food. Now, this particular idol had some of its adherents bringing a spoon of milk to the idol's mouth, and they would slightly tilt the spoon into the idol's mouth, and the milk seemed to disappear into the idol in some magical way. Upon further investigation, what they found was the reason the milk was disappearing was due to something called surface tension. You see, these idols were kept ritually cleansed, so there was a gleam, a shiny gleam to these idols due to constant washing that was done to this idol by the adherents or the believers in this particular god. When the milk was tilted to the mouth of that idol, the milk was actually, through surface tension, becoming part of the liquid surface of this particular idol. Now, how did they discover this? They put some red dye in the milk, and when they tilted the milk onto the idol, they saw that the milk was actually pouring down the sides of this idol. This was not a miracle of any sort, but this was one of the examples of something that people thought was a miracle for a period of time until it was looked further into by investigators. Now, another story that Nickel talked about comes to us from Thornton, California in about 1981. And what happened in Thornton, California in a church there was a statue of the Virgin Mary. And people said that the eyes of the statue were looking at different angles at people in the church. Other stories that came from that same church were that at night, this statue of the Virgin was actually moving. So there were a couple stories coming from this particular event. Upon further investigation through photography, what they discovered was it depended upon where you were in the church, at what particular angle you were viewing this statue of the Virgin Mary, that it seemed as if her eyes were changing her angle, when actually they weren't, and photographic data proved that the eyes were not changing their angle. Now, about the Virgin Mary moving around in the church at night, the clerics for that particular church admitted that that was a hoax from that particular example. Another example I want to relate to you from this article. This occurred in Quebec, Canada in 1985. Now, what happened there was a believer in the Virgin Mary stated that a Virgin Mary statue within her room or within her house was weeping. And then the story became that this statue was bleeding. Now, when people started to take note of this story, they later found out that not only was the Virgin Mary statue weeping or bleeding, but other religious icons, other crucifixes within this house were also bleeding. Now, investigators went and checked this out, and what they found was, eventually, once a lot of people got into the room, they noticed that this bleeding would occur. Upon closer investigation, they found that animal fat had been placed on some of these items. And when the heat of the room went up, the blood would ooze out of the animal fat onto these various objects. And, of course, this was a hoax that was perpetrated by this particular individual. Now, there are other occurrences like this. For example, if we look at Portugal in 1917 in the town of Fatima, there was a report that young children had seen a vision of the Virgin Mary there, and the Virgin Mary was relating bits of information to them over a period of time. This virgin vision told them that she would come up in October with another vision, and many of the townsfolk came out on that particular day to see if they could see this vision also. Many of the news articles from that time reported that thousands of people on that particular day saw the sun pulsating in the sky, or they saw some movement with the sun that was totally unique and unusual. Now, I don't know what happened on that day in Fatima, Portugal in 1917. There are things that defy explanation, and we cannot say whether this was a hoax or it was not. But from the reporting, it seems hard to prove that this was a hoax of some sort. But what could the source of that miracle or miraculous sign have been? Could it only have been God? You got to remember now, folks, they said that the Virgin Mary was speaking to them. The pages of your Bible teach us that the Virgin Mary is dead and buried. She sleeps until a future resurrection. That's what your Bible teaches. We've gotten into that on other programs. So what was the source of this miraculous wonder or sign? Well, let's look at the Bible and see if we can find out some possibilities if we take a closer look at what Scripture has to say on this subject. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. Notice what it says here. This is direction towards us who believe in God's word. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, be careful, ladies and gentlemen. All miracles are not from God. Some miracles that we see could be a test from God to see if we're going to stay steadfast with what His Word says rather than what this person who has created this miracle is telling us about God. Another scripture to be mindful of is over in the book of Exodus. This is over in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, you probably remember the story. I'm going to pick it up there in verse 8. It says this, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." Now, if you read further along, though, it says the Egyptian magicians also were able to duplicate this miracle. Now, God's serpent swallowed up their serpents, but the point I want to make here is these magical arts, sorceries, can also be the source of miraculous events. And who is the source of these types of things? Well, let's read further to see if we can find out. Another scripture is over in the New Testament in the book of Acts, and you may have heard the story of Simon the sorcerer there. And in Acts chapter 8, we get a little information on this character. In Acts 8 and verse 9, I'm going to pick it up there. It says this, "But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time." Now you can see here that he was not the source, or God was not the source of these miracles that Simon was perpetrating. How do we know that? If you read further along in the book of Acts, it becomes very clear to you that Simon was not the great power of God. His source was coming from another location. And your Bible tells you what that other location is. I want to go to one scripture that makes this location very clear to us. It's over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles if you have them handy there. And we're going to take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Now notice what it says. "The coming of the lawless one," speaking of the end times, "is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Now let me repeat that. The coming of the lawless one, this is speaking of the end times when the false prophet and the beast power will be in play. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Satan's power can bring forth signs and wonders. Revelation tells us in the end times, false miracles will be perpetrated by people who are using the source of Satan rather than God. So we need to be careful with what we think a miracle is. We need to let God's Word decide for us whether something is miraculous or not. Go to God's Word to decide, is this a true miracle from God or is it not a true miracle from God? Now, I don't want to let you think that God cannot perform miracles, because the Bible is chock full of examples of God performing miracles. We can go back to the book of Exodus, and you could read further along in that story of the battle between Moses and Aaron and the Egyptian magicians. What you will see transpired in chapter 8 is when it came to the miracle of the lice, the Egyptian magicians could not duplicate that miracle. And as the other plagues came upon Egypt, those miracles could not be duplicated by the Egyptian magician, showing that God's power is greater than the power of Satan. There are other examples of miracles in your Bible. If you think of the resurrection of Jesus, or those that Jesus rose from the dead, or the miracles of Paul. Even Paul performed miracles. It wasn't just something that Jesus was able to do. But we know the source of Paul's miracles, and we can read about that over in the book of Acts. And I'm going to turn right now to Acts chapter, over in the book of Acts, we want to turn to Acts chapter 19, and show you one of these set of miracles that Paul was performing. We can pick it up in verse 11 there. "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So we see here that not only are miracles coming when Jesus is on the earth, but miracles are happening when the apostles are on the earth. And miracles can even happen today, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we offered you that booklet on today's program titled The Miracle of Healing. So we see these various examples throughout the Bible of miracles coming from the source of God. And we know that God's power is greater than the power of Satan. But taking all this into account, what I'd like to do on the remainder of today's program is I want to look at some things that the skeptics have to say about miracles, and do we have an answer to the skeptics on some of the arguments they make against the idea that miraculous events occur? Now, I talked to you about that magazine, The Skeptical Inquirer. Those who write that magazine don't believe in miracles. So I want to put that out there right from the start here. I definitely do believe in miracles, but I think we can gather information from various sources when we look at a subject like this. But some of those who don't believe in miracles, ladies and gentlemen, what they believe is why you cannot believe in miracles is because they say miracles defy the laws of nature. Now, part of this argument came from the philosopher Hume. Hume argued that the miracles of the Bible could not be true because they defied the laws of nature. And when you think about it, we don't see resurrections happening every day, do we? We don't see waters being parted in a sea, do we? Of course not. So those things are miraculous things that do defy the natural laws. But I would argue with Hume today from this particular standpoint. Do we know all there is to know about the natural laws or nature itself? And I say that because during the time Hume was around, there were beliefs in what the natural laws could do and what the natural laws were. But since the time of Hume, we've learned incredible things about the natural laws. We've learned about the theory of relativity. Our conception of time and space has changed because of what we've learned about the natural laws since the time of Hume. When we look at the quantum revolution of the early 1900s and the things that have been discovered about quantum physics over the last 50 years, these were things that were not known at the time of Hume. These types of things probably would have astonished Mr. Hume and those who held to that particular argument against miracles. So I think we have some good arguments against this idea that miracles defy the natural laws, therefore they cannot be true. Quantum physics defies what we understood the natural laws to be, so our conception of what the natural laws are today is much different than it was before. But we can take the proactive role in this, and we can look at what the natural laws show us and find that those who don't believe in miracles probably need to look a little closer at this type of thing. What do I mean by that? Science says that the Big Bang occurred and everything came into being. But do you know that science says that everything was in one small mass that exploded and led to what we see around us today? Now, when I think of that, and I think that there was no creative force behind it, I think that's miraculous if you can't believe that a God started that Big Bang process. Let me quote to you what one particular scientist says about that Big Bang. Now, this fellow's name is Sir Arthur Eddington, and this is what he's quoted as saying. The beginning seems to present insuperable difficulties unless we agree to look on it as frankly supernatural. So this particular scientist says the beginning had to have the source of the supernatural behind it to believe that it could come into being as it did. Another fella, a physicist named P.C. Davies, he said this, the odds against conditions being present for stars to form is one followed by 1,000,000,000,000,000 zeros. That's P.C. Davies, a physicist, saying that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you can believe in a God, if you can believe in a God, the idea that there could be miracles easily follows that belief in a God. Because that God must be supernatural to be God. And therefore, if there is a God, God must be able to do the supernatural, defy the laws of nature, because He is the creator of nature. He understands nature better than anyone else does. That's the God of your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. He defies the natural laws. He owns the natural laws. He knows the natural laws. He can do as He pleases. That is a God we should all believe in. That is a God that is the source of life. That is the God that can overcome death. And only through that God can we overcome that last enemy, which is death. I hope you learn more about your Bible. I hope you watch this program on a regular basis, because we will bring you the truth of the Bible on a regular basis. We will stay consistent with what is in this Word and what this God is trying to tell us about the source of life, why we're here, and where we're going. Are miracles real? Oh, yes, they are. Miracles are real, and when you come to believe in the God of this Bible, miracles will become a something that is second nature to believe in. I want to thank you for joining me on today's edition of the Armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
Well, I must admit, Mike took a different tact on today's subject regarding miracles. But you know he was right, because there are some denominations that make far too much out of statues. And when they do that, well, they do distract themselves. God never intended for Himself to be made to look like anything. As a matter of fact, over here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, let me turn your attention to what Moses had written. He said here in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 4, "Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves," he says, "for you saw no manner of similitude on the day at Mount Horeb regarding God," that is His image and what you saw. You saw nothing. Saw a burning bush, but that really wasn't anything. And then he proceeds in the verses thereafter, in verse 16 and so on, stating, "Therefore, don't make me a male or a female. Don't make me into an animal. Don't make me into a bird or a fish or some kind of creepy thing. I am God." And as Jesus told the woman in the well over there in John chapter 4, there will be a time when human beings worship God in spirit, because He is a spirit. And because God is a spirit, therefore we must worship Him in spirit. Look, there are forces, as Mike portrayed, out here in this world that want to be recognized as superior to God. They are, in fact, on a mission to get you and I to worship the creation far more than the Creator. That's why you've got to get the free offer that we're presenting on today's program. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for the free offers on this program. The booklet, small booklet, called Miracle of Healings, and a one-hour CD presentation by Bronson James titled God's Hand in Healing. Again, let me remind you, my friends, both are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791. This is Bill Watson, and reminding you always, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.